Amen. Well done, fellas. Wasn't that good? Amen. Praise the Lord. Oh, well, it's good to be back here. Jennifer and I were out last night in Hamilton at the Young Adult Retreat that's happening right now. And almost 50 young adults from our church are at this retreat. It's meeting at South Auckland Bible Church, Pastor Barry Smith. So that's where a lot of our young adults are this morning. Just pray for them. It's been an awesome time. Our brother Joel Schoaf has been the guest speaker down there to challenge them. But they've really had a great time. I'm sure they're going to come back excited and just full of stories and ready to serve the Lord again. So we've had a big hole in our ministry this morning with people missing, even in our sound booth. Friday, Matthew said, "Ken, I don't think we have anyone for sound. They're all at the retreat." And so we've had to pull together people to help in classes and in different ministries. So pray for our young people, if you would. Also, I wanted to just say a special hi to we have, again, I understand last week was a visit with us, but a fellow named Andy over here. Andy, raise your hand. Hi. This is Andy. Everyone say hi, Andy. Andy is from the States. Texas, I believe, right? Which part of Texas?
Near Dallas.
Near Dallas. So that's, you know, that's they're neighbors of ours, practically. My folks are in the Dallas area. And so Andy and his wife Sharon are over here. They're here on a work visa, but they're working in the ministry with Gospel for Asia, GFA. GFA is a group that we've also had a partnership with for a number of years now. And so he's come over here and he's going to be setting up camp here for a while. Not sure how long as the Lord allows. And so just pray for Andy and Sharon, his wife. They have two little ones as well. But it's good to see you again, brother. Good to see you. This is the fourth week of our missions focus. Our fourth week. We've had brother, who was the first speaker? Mani. Brother Mani from Fiji come and shared with us on our Saturday missions kickoff as well as Sunday. That was a great blessing. And we're excited about the ministry over there in Fiji, and there's some needs that we're trying to help fill, and you'll be hearing about these needs, I'm sure. They need some fencing put up. Brother Steve, our electrician in the church, is wanting to go and help with some electrical needs that they have. Next year, we're wanting to take a mission team over to do an outreach program down in Sigatoka as well. So just be praying for the Manis. After that, we had Brother Aaron and Anna come and share with us their work and what God's put in their heart, a young plant of a church in Auckland here. Pray for the Hills. We would like to be able to support them, but we need to be able to maintain the mission programs that we have, which is currently about right at 20. And also remember, our daughter church, IBC Central, their missions program is separate from ours this year. This is their first year that they're launching with their own mission budget. They're taking on new missionaries. And so our goal here is to not only keep our missionaries, all of them that we have, without the aid of IBC Central, but also to be able to increase enough to be able to take on another mission project in this year. Pray about this. This is a step of faith for us. And we need your prayers and ask God, what would He have you to do this year in your faith promise giving to missions? We had Joel Schoaf last week, and I know Joel was a blessing to hear as well, another missionary pastor who's been in this country for many years. But today I want to challenge you with the concept of motives. Motives. What is the heartbeat of our mission? What is the heartbeat of your mission? When we talk about heartbeats, we're actually talking about the primary driving force behind something. What is the main reason for what we do? So that's the heartbeat side. When we talk about missions, We are referring primarily to that great commission that Jesus gave us to go into all the world and make disciples of all nations, baptizing them and teaching them to observe all things I've commanded you. This is the Great Commission, and this is our responsibility as a church. We cannot do this on our own. We must be faithful, and it begins right here at home. It begins with each of us being faithful in our area where God has us to share the good news. And then from there, at the same time, simultaneously, we support so others can go into other regions where we are not. And this is our missions calling, our missions program. It's not just a program of the church, it's what we do. It is what we are. We must be about the Great Commission. So, what is the heartbeat of our seeking to fulfill and to obey the Great Commission? That is what this is about. What is the primary motive of this? And by the way, every church should be involved with missions and giving and sending and going. Every church. Even when IBC was started over 33 years ago, when this church was started, we had a mission program. We could hardly pay our own bills and rent a facility to meet in, but we had a mission program. And I remember our very first missionary that we supported was Brother Bob Sadaraka, his name was. And he was in one of the islands. I don't think it was Tonga. You remember where, John? Remember Sadaraka? I'm asking one of our oldest, not our oldest, but our longest member of the church. And he remembers Sadaraka. He was one of our very first missionary. He was in one of the islands serving. But we supported him regularly and each month. And we would give so that he could go to where we weren't and continue to share the gospel there. And so from day one, we've been giving to missions. And a church should do that, even a new church. A church that is new often has many concerns and can't meet their own needs. And let's wait until we have enough money and then we'll give to missions. That day can never come. There's never enough money. But we can begin giving to missions by faith. And that's why we call this faith promise giving. So what is your heartbeat? What motivates you to obey this Great Commission? This is important. It's an important question because the Bible says motives are very important. One day, we are going to stand before the Lord as Christians, as His people, not in judgment. There is no condemnation to those in Christ, but our works that we did here will be tried, and we will receive reward or not receive reward, and that primarily is based on the motive behind what we were doing. And so motives are extremely important as we live our lives, as we seek to obey the Lord. So what motivates you? We're going to see five motivations this morning, and the first one is a bad one. We got to get that one out of the way, and then we'll take a look at the other four. Before we go on to our first one, though, let's pray and ask the Lord to guide us and to bless His Word. Father, I thank You for Your calling to us to be a church. Lord, for calling so many to salvation, and so many in this place have a testimony of Your goodness and grace to them. But Lord, our work is not finished, and we are to be obedient to this commission. But Lord, at this time, may we each take a moment to examine our motives. Why? Why will we do it? Why will we be faithful to the Great Commission? Why will I give to missions? Father, examine us and may we respond to You in the appropriate way. Thank You in Jesus' name. The first motivation is simply the praise of men. Okay, this is not a good motivation, but it is a common motivation, the praise of men. In Jesus' ministry, there was a group of people he spent a lot of time rebuking and talking about, and that group was called the Pharisees. Everyone knows the Pharisees, right? Pharisees? These were the religious leaders of Israel in this time. They knew the law very well. They were very strict. And Jesus spent a lot of time talking with them and to them. So much of what the Pharisees did, if you took a look at their activities, it was good. It was commendable. But there was still a problem. What was the problem? What was the problem? It was in here. It was their motivation, their heart. Why were they doing it? Jesus referred to them as many things, and one of the things he said was, "You are whitewashed tombs." Whitewashed tombs. That means on the outside you look good, pretty, new coat of paint, but on the inside you're dead. There's nothing inside you. God looks at the motivation. What was their motivation? Let's look at some examples from the book of Matthew in chapter 6. Follow along in verse 16. Moreover, when you fast. Everyone knows what fasting is? Driving really fast to church? We go fast. No. Fasting, going without food for a period of time. In our understanding and context, it's without food for the purpose of focusing on the Lord and on prayer and seeking the Lord. Fast. When you fast, do not be like the hypocrites with a sad countenance, for they disfigure their faces, that they may appear to men to be fasting. Assuredly, I say to you, they have their reward. Get the scene here? These people are fasting. How are they doing it? It says they look sad, and so they're wanting everyone to see how very sad they are. Then it says they disfigure their faces, and they want to look hungry and sad and pathetic. Is that the way to fast? Of course not. What did Jesus say to do? He said, first of all, they have their reward because their motive was the praise of men. They got it. Verse 17. When you fast, anoint your head and wash your face. He says, wash your hair, get looking sharp, clean up your face, don't look like it, so that you do not appear to be fasting, but to your Father who is in the secret place, and your Father who sees in secret will reward you openly when he comes. All right, so when you fast, if you're going to fast, make sure your motive is the right thing. You love the Lord, you're doing it for Him, to draw closer to Him, to seek Him, not to have people look at you and say, wow, that person is really something. What a good Christian. Aren't they spiritual? Don't do that. Their motivation, though, was wrong. Jesus mentions the same thing about other things. Look at verse 2. He says, therefore, when you do a charitable deed... What's a charitable deed? It could be any number of things, but the picture I get here is this person is coming to perhaps give some money to help out a struggling person in need. He says, when you do a charitable deed, do not sound a trumpet before you as the hypocrites do in the synagogues and in the streets. We just got a funny picture of the guy fasting with a distorted face. Now we're getting the picture of a guy going to help somebody, giving some money, and he has someone going in front of him blowing a trumpet, getting ready for this big deed that he's going to do. Is this funny to you? It's a funny image to me. And, what does he say? He says that they may have glory from men. I say to you, they have their reward. They got it. That's what they were after. That was their motivation. In verse 5, he says the same thing about how they prayed. Don't go out on the street and yell out loud for all to hear. And make this elaborate prayer so that everyone around you will be impressed with how eloquent a speaker and a prayer you are. So is fasting wrong to do? Is giving and doing good deeds wrong? Is praying wrong? And of course, the answer is always, no, it isn't. These are good attributes. But what is the problem? the motivation. So the motivation cannot be the praise of men. Having people notice you, that's not the motivation. Let's look at some biblical motivations, though. Now, obviously, what's the very first motivation that comes to mind when we think of a good, honorable, noble motivation for obeying the Lord and for obeying the Great Commission? What's the first motivation? Really? Starts with an L. Love. Very good. Love. This deserves first focus. But this also has an accompanying aspect to it. We say we love God, therefore we obey God. But as our theme verse says here, when Jesus summed it all up, he says, love the Lord your God, but he added something onto it on the end. Love your neighbor as yourself. You love other people. So when you love God, that goes hand in hand with it. You love other people, and we'll explain why in just a moment. Picture in your mind, if you would, a boy, and this boy was asked to clean his room by his mother, and he obeys and he cleans his room. What was his motivation? Well, we don't know exactly, but something motivated him to obey. Now, obviously, the highest motivation is love, and it'd be great if he just said, okay, Mom, I'm obeying you because I love you and I want to please you. Amen? Is that what you mothers get all the time? Not all the time. There are other motivations at times. Sometimes it's fear. If I don't clean my room, I'm going to get in big trouble. Mom's going to get on to me or ground me or something else. And so there's fear. Could be motivated by a reward. I'll give you an ice cream if you clean.